What's up with Delaney?
He's being looked at. I'll let you know after. I probably won't let you know, but hopefully he'll be okay.
Mike Vrabel earlier today, Delaney Walker leaves practice gingerly with a doctor, limping on, I think, one of his feet. But that's all we got, and that's all we're going to get, and that's all we know. Our own Titans reporter, Buck Rising, in studio with us. Buck, what do we think about Delaney?
I mean, at this point, it's just speculation, so I don't want to get into that. But how much Floyd Reese did you enjoy Mike Vrabel's answer there?
Oh, it's great. And I told him, it's funny, we were laughing. I go, who asked that question? Did they really expect to get an answer?
Oh, no. I mean, at this point, Floyd, we're just kind of, like every third day, we'll just lob up. Hey, yeah. What's going on with Rashawn?
Anything new?
Anything? What's the word? I saw he was out here today. Come on, Mike. You know you want to tell us. No, I mean, Delaney, it's you don't want to see that at all, especially because he was having a good practice early on. Marcus was finding him in stride. Marcus threw a really, really pretty pass to Delaney to kind of lead him. I think it was, I can't remember the name of the Buck safety that was working in coverage, but it was a really, really tight window, and Marcus just put it right in there. I mean, they looked like they were legitimately in rhythm before he ended up getting hurt in the one-on-one drills, and, you know, you can debate how important those are when it's so slanted in favor of the offense. No, not ideal to have Delaney Walker go down. I don't know how much time he was going to play in the preseason game anyway, because Mike Vrabel said after practice that based on how many good reps they got out on the practice field against the Bucks would determine how little or how much those guys play in the actual game. So I found that interesting, and at least I guess you get to see what Jonnu Smith can do. How I know that's your boy, Jared. I know
Jonnu Smith?
Yes.
I mean, as long as he didn't get any penalties, I have no idea. Maybe he'll get better his second year. I don't know.
I say he can run now.
Yeah, he can.
He can run.
And he looks physically bigger. I mean,
the Titans are totally up a creek if Delaney Walker's out.
No, we don't want
Yeah,
to
no, that's really, really that's, bad. I mean, that's whatever it, drop touchdown passes last year or not, like that's the best security blanket that you have for Marcus Mariota. So no extended missed time for Delaney Walker. That would not bode well.
What did we think about the overall matchup between the Titans and the Bucks over the 2 days?
I think they split it. I mean, I know I felt like on the whole, the Bucks defense had a better day against the Titans receivers the first day, and then the passing game for the Titans looked pretty sharp today, I thought. Even after Delaney went down, Marcus looked pretty competent. I liked the level of competition that was out there, and we talked about how in the second day we would probably see a little more flare ups, and there was I forget who the linebacker was that popped Deion Lewis pretty hard, and then Quentin Spain started jawing at one guy, and everybody, and Mike Vrabel, to see not just Mike Vrabel in there to break the pile up, but John Robinson. That was funny because those guys were not about to let anything go down out
there.
John
Robinson sprinted in.
John Robinson, not once, but twice, because it happened on back-to-back plays. Well, like, John is playing no games with these boys.
Well, the best was, you know, Mike's blowing the whistle, like, you know, just constant, just trying to blow it like a coach. And John comes running in there, like arms flailing, and just runs in there. And immediately grabs Taylor Lewan like by the back of the shoulder pads and is like dragging Taylor back.
I legitimately thought they were going to give Taylor a playoff after that, but no, they just let him go.
Then the next play is another running play. So Deion Lewis getting knocked to the ground is what started the whole thing. Then the next play, there's a run play, and like the linebacker who's with Stocker, you see Stocker kind of go flying with his, you know, somebody grabbing onto his shoulder and his jersey's being pulled, and it was right next to Taylor. And immediately Taylor disengages his block after the play's over and turns right at the guy who is grabbing on Stocker's jersey or sent Stocker flying. And here comes John running right back in. And John just goes and grabs Taylor right
Jared
away.
Jared ate like, that up, Floyd, if you couldn't tell.
Jared loved that. John, just stay over there. You know Taylor's going to go back for seconds.
Yeah, no, Taylor wanted him a piece of Jason Pierre-Paul. Like, Jason Pierre-Paul had a better day in the first joint practice than he did in the second. Taylor definitely brought something a little something extra with him today after JPP put him on skates.
That's a great matchup for both those guys.
It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, that's a premier matchup right there.
Even with half a hand, he's still really good.
So my big takeaway from what I saw today, Buck Rising, our own Titans reporter in studio with us, my big takeaway from what I saw today was, like, with Delanie Walker out, Marcus had almost no help out there from what I saw. You know, it's like he was going right to Corey Davis, who was his by far favorite guy to throw the ball to today. The offensive line didn't give him much help. We can't tell much about the running game. But I said this to you, Nick Williams was his second favorite receiver today behind Corey Davis. And if that's the case, you're not going to win a lot of football games.
No, I mean, the Nick Williams hype, for most of which you are responsible.
All of which.
Which is fine. Nick Williams, good guy.
This is a very influential show.
Cagey vet Nick Williams out there. Cagey veteran. Like, my whole thing with Nick Williams is, okay, he's a solid player, and he makes special teams plays, and he knows what he's doing, and that's very important because the rest of the guys don't. And this is the whole idea of this this veteran wide receiver presence that people say that the Titans need in that meeting room. Well, they have it in Nick Williams, and his job, other than to make special team plays and other than to kind of ease everybody's transition into the new offense, is to help bring those younger guys along. And I think he's doing that. So if he does that, even if he's not the actual playmaker or an actual, like, wide receiver, if he does that, I think he's serving your value there.
No, my big problem though is that Marcus needs more help. You know, if it's only Davis and Nick Williams, and he's got no help.
Jonnu, two tight ends. Let's go.
If he's got only Corey Davis, and the offensive line's not helping out, and I don't care what kind of offense you're running, I don't know how Marcus can succeed like that.
No, I mean, and you're
what I saw today.
Yes, you're spot on, and I think ideally they'd like to rely on the run game and the defense early, just as they kind of try to bring everything in the passing game along. But I mean, if you can't go one dimensional, obviously people will figure you out in a hurry. The Rishard Matthews thing is so strange, because we see him out there occasionally today, and it's just like, what is going on with this guy?
It's honestly the ghost.
It's so bizarre, and like, it's like I'm looking, oh, does he look a little skinnier today or something? Like, can I tell anything? Because of course we're not getting any information on the guy. But yeah, no, you don't like how, like, you didn't like the skill positions a ton beforehand, and now with all the injury or perceived injuries or whatever, hydration issues, whatever's going on with these guys actually that's keeping them out, it's you don't feel great about it.
Floyd, what do you think it is? I believe.
Oh, I have no clue.
See, I believe Floyd can, like,
Titans
diagnose.
Titans general manager, yeah. Floyd Reese, no, 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 no. Speculates.
Floyd can diagnose any of this stuff. When Teddy Bridgewater got hurt, I read him like one tweet, and Floyd was like, "Oh yeah, that can't be a torn ACL. That's got to be like a dislocation of the knee if they're calling the ambulance and they're doing this that." I'm like, and then 3 days later, it came out and it was like, Teddy Bridgewater had a dislocation of the knee. I'm like, how did you know that? You're like, well, it's simple. If the knee goes into this place and then comes out, I'm like, how do you
like
know,
I know
that?
Like, I know.
So what do we yes, think this know. Is with Rishard Matthews?
Oh, I have no clue.
Liar.
Let me ask you this, Buck. Do sure. you, before the first preseason game,
yes.
I think all of us were kind of really looking at the offense with the question. You know, you're kind of, what's going to happen here? They go into the preseason game. I'm talking about the starters, and they have that first series, and now everybody's going, wow, you know what? There may be a...
Oh, no, I remember this very well, Floyd. He made me give a hot take about it, and I said the offense was going to look like crap. They look great.
There you go.
This is why you don't hot take.
Now you've seen 2 days of practice
yeah.
with another team. Do you see the offense progressing? Do you see everything
yes.
you want to see?
Yeah, I think that's safe to say at this point. I mean, I think that the first day he looked like he was, you know, figuring out new defensive backs, as were the wide receivers. They're trying to see how their skill sets match up against each other and figure one another out. I think on the whole, based on how we saw them execute, even if it was just one series, I know people that we are overanalyzing so much in three passes of Marcus Mariota, but I think that you can see the rhythm of the passing game start to develop even in the second day with the joint practices with the Bucs. I think that you based on what you saw in Green Bay, that you can feel comfortable about where Marcus feels in terms of what they want him to do, and like how to execute in pre-snap communication and like the fundamentals of it. So I think that he's further along than people give him credit for. And I think, you know, I said this earlier in the day, you know, people, it's really hard to play quarterback in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So I think that, again, with nothing else to talk about, we overanalyze Marcus and that this is, you legitimately have to believe him when he gives you the cliche of it's a process. But I think for where he is in the process, I think you could feel good about what they look like or what they will look like on Saturday against Tampa Bay.
Our own Titans reporter, Buck Rising, in studio with us. Your hot take.
No.
For game number two, your hot take for game number one.
I won't
was
give you
way
another one. No, you will not do this
it
to me again.
It was a terrible take. What is your hot take?
You know,
they ran one series. Buck's hot take was that the fans are going to be furious at Matt LaFleur after game one.
You are
and
so.
And they went down the field and scored a touchdown. What is your
I'm
hot take for game two?
Not giving you another one.
Gotta have it.
The secondary gets burned again, and everybody freaks out. Everybody loses their mind. Everybody loses their mind.
If Malcolm Butler gets
Mike Evans
burned,
and Deshaun Jackson and this Godwin receiver who nobody knows but is apparently a good player,
well,
everybody freaks out.
College football, he played at Georgia. He was pretty good. But if Malcolm Butler gets burned Saturday night, I'm going to throw a chair. Like, I'm going to freak out. Like, Bobby Knight. Like, I am going to freak out if Malcolm Butler gets burned. And I'm going to...
No, they're going to have like five interceptions now because you made me give a hot take. Like, this is such a terrible way to do this.
We'll hold you to this, Buck Rising, our own Titans reporter. Buck, we appreciate it, as always.
You're welcome. Thanks. Happy to do it, guys.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. I am about to go on a rant. I am going to go on a rant, and we will do that coming up next here on Jared and the GM. But it's always ranting about bad things. Sometimes I like to rant about good things. And you know what is good? Innovative Medical Solutions. That's right. If you have a bad knee, hip, or shoulder that is keeping you from doing the things you love, then you need to call my friends at Innovative Medical Solutions. If you have arthritis, then you need to call my friends at Innovative Medical Solutions. Why? Because they feature an exciting, effective solution so many Americans have turned to. It's called regenerative medicine, and it's a branch of medicine that helps your body repair itself naturally without surgery and with no downtime. Everybody hates surgery. Everybody hates downtime. Everybody hates pain pills. Everybody hates addiction to pain pills. So don't do it. Call Innovative Medical Solutions. Let the doctors at Innovative Medical Solutions evaluate you and see if you're a good candidate for this life-changing treatment. Innovative Medical Solutions is located in Franklin and easy for you. Get back to doing all the things you like to do and call them today and tell them you heard about it from me, Jared Stillman, and you will receive a free consultation. Now, we only have 15 of these until 2 o'clock tomorrow, so get in now. Innovative Medical Solutions for a free consultation using my name, Jared Stillman. That is a $250 savings. Call them now, 615-461-5040. That's Innovative Medical Solutions, 615-461-5040. One more time, 615-461-5040. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game.